How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Well, we have a subject before us tonight. We're going to try and make tracks as best we can. We've been studying how to handle adversity for two Sundays now. We have gone through very critical, important information on what the Bible says about how to handle adversity. And one of the things we ended with is understanding that our adversary was the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. This is David's adversary. This is Betty's adversary. This is Judas' adversary. You really need to get it straight. He is against you. Now that may sound like bad news, but there's a lot of good news to come. The good news begins when you recognize you need to know who your adversaries are. How else shall you deal with them? And you need to know that this is your adversary. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Make no mistake about it. What's he want to do to you? Devour you. So tonight, to pick up, let's look at one more verse here. This is another side. And nothing terrified by your adversaries. So let us learn right off the top tonight that you don't have to ever be afraid of the devil. And I'm going to show you some truths that if you grasp these truths tonight, you'll never be afraid of the devil. And you will be able to conquer him all the time, every time. That is part of the designing of the redemption package that God has for you. That when you come into Christ and Christ comes into you, you have a spiritual bigness inside you that you didn't have before. And that's why Paul was clear when he said, greater is he, a person that is in you, than he, Satan, that is in the world. They are no match. Satan is easily subdued by the power of Christ. And if you have Christ, redemption is restoring you back to the place of conquering Satan all the time, every time. All right, well, what we want to do tonight is learn some of the things about Satan. We don't want to learn them all. I mean, we can learn them. Well, there's more, but there's some things you need to know in order to defeat him. So I want to start off first the importance of character confirmation. I want you not to miss these concepts right up front. Character confirmation is the basis of our ability to deal with all persons. Salesperson, teacher, educator, pornographer, solicitor, lawyer, doctor. You name any person you have to deal with, you better know their character or you won't be able to deal with them. The basis of successful dealing with people is to know what kind of person they are. And so that's why character confirmation becomes the all-important issue. Here's the scripture. Make sure of your friend. You don't just take a friend without confirming character first. Do you all hear that? There should have been 25 amens in here, by the way. Because if you make friends of those whose character you have not confirmed, you are in for personal damage. If you're going to marry somebody, you better confirm their character first. Now, I was tricky. I was able to do it pretty quick. Because in visiting, you just turn this off. Turn down your hearing aid for a moment. You have? Because I happened to come across a pile of journals that my wife, she journals every day of the year for years. And I probably should have asked permission. But I did get forgiveness later. Yeah, she had a harder time doing this than I had with her, see, because there were no journals around. But I got a hold of a few of those journals going back a number of years, and I read what she wrote to herself and to the Lord. And I was convinced of the character. If you're going to enter into business with somebody, you better know their character first. Confirm it. It ought to be ratifiable. And that's why Paul even tells us to make sure of our own, prove our own selves. Examine yourself. So we make sure that we're the real thing. So let's look at this verse, for example. A naughty person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He uses body language. He teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually, and he sows discord. You want to find out if the person you are getting involved with is a naughty person or not. And thus this diagram. So here's a couple of ladies on the right looking at a few men on the left. Now let me tell you something. What you see over here, it may not be what you get. Before you talk with, open any personal information to, you need to confirm the character of these men. Because what's in his mind? Or better yet, what's in his heart? So, back to my premise here. Character confirmation is the basis of dealing with all people. It tells you, once you know their character, whether they can be friends or how close they can be or how far they should be away. Now, I say all that to say this, and somehow the wrong thing got copied here. So let's go back here, and I'll bring you up to speed. I'm missing. I don't know how that happened. But. If you want to know how to deal with the devil, you need to know his character. Because once you know what he is like, what his limitations are, what his intentions are, then you can deal with him appropriately. But if you think lightly of the devil, if you don't have a clear picture of what this character is like, if you only think of him as the cartoon character with a red outfit on and horns and a tail and a spear in his hand, then you will not deal with the devil sufficiently. So, So what we want to do now is talk about the characteristics of the devil and of Satan, who is the same person, so that you'll know how to deal with him. And all the first five came on the first slide, first four. So they all come out of this verse. So first of all, you want to know that Satan is full of lust. He is not passive. He is driven by lustful, self-gratifying intentions. Look at Jesus' statement here, because this is where we learn it from. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. The lusts of your father, the father is, these people had the devil as their father. And Jesus is plainly saying that this devil, this Satan, this father of yours is full of lust. And look at this now. What he does with his lust is he passes it on to other people. When you deal with lust, you are not just dealing with your own flesh. The lust of the flesh is one thing, but the lust that is capitalized on and brought into us by Satan is another area and source of lust. Did you ever get that? Did you get that? He passes on. Here he said, this is what Jesus says. The lusts of your father Satan, you're going to do them because Satan is lustful and he passes his lust on to others. Now, secondly, he is a murderer. Now, are you starting to see with just the first couple of character qualities that this is not somebody to be trifled with? He wants to kill you. If you want to know why in America for the last 32 years we have killed 45 million babies, you can blame the politicians. They are to blame. You can blame the judiciary system. They are to blame. But let me tell you what's back of this. There is a spirit of murder. It comes from the devil himself, and he has always been a murderer because the ultimate lustful act of getting for yourself is the destruction of somebody else who has what you want. And so one out of seven for the last 30 years has been killed before birth. You go to any meeting where there are 600 people, there are 100 people missing. Why is that? Because Satan is a murderer. Now, I have no intentions to scare you at all tonight, because I'm going to show you how you're going to come out on the bright side of this. But I want to make sure that up front you understand that this is no trifling issue. That the devil is real. It's kind of interesting because I pulled this book off my shelf today by someone we highly respect, A.W. Tozer. Name of the book, I Talk Back to the Devil. By the time we finish tonight, you're going to learn how to talk to the devil and how to limit your talk to the devil, because the scriptures prescribe your conversation to the devil. Did you know that? You should not be holding conversations with the devil, although he tries to hold conversations with you. And we will learn tonight exactly the scriptural limitations of talking to the devil. But be sure, we are to talk to the devil. And I'm going to show you the power of that in a few moments. But he's a murderer. The news of the last 10 days in these United States of America. I mean, come on. Can you watch the news and not weep? Can you contemplate yesterday and not be filled with sorrow? What's going on? The answer is not complicated. In 69, we took prayer out of schools. Took the Ten Commandments out of schools shortly thereafter. Now we're taking them out of the public place altogether. And since then, we have been banning judicially banning Jesus Christ. Not religion, not other religions, but Jesus. From the thinking of America. And then we wonder why there's murder. Because the court says, the judge said, we can't post the Ten Commandments because in the schools, because then the children will think and will probably follow them. Commandments like thou shalt not kill. Satan is a murderer. Now, notice this in the same scripture, that he is against all truth. From the beginning, he was a murderer, and he abode not in the truth. Now watch this. Because there is zero truth in him. There is no truth in him. None. Golly, seems to me we ought to get on this guy's case, don't you? He is our adversary. Look at this. And he is a liar and the father of it. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh right out of his own self, because he is a liar and the father of it. Look at this now. He, Satan, is a liar and the father of it. And that's what you're dealing with. Then he's a tempter and a provoker. You can put provoker in here too. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David. He will provoke you and tempt you. Look at this next verse. This is Jesus. When the tempter came to him, this is referring to Satan coming to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. When the tempter came to him, if you're the Son of God, then make these stones into bread. It's kind of interesting, because when we visited the Mount of Temptation, it was shocking to realize that, I would say, hundreds of thousands of the stones that you see on the mount all look like shapes of loaves of bread. So he said, well, turn these stones into bread. But notice that he was a tempter. Notice that he's a resister to all who do good. If you are struggling in your life of doing good, the reason is because since you became a follower of the Lord, somebody is out to resist you and to slow you down. Here's a biblical example. Showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan was standing at his right hand to resist him. And you will discover that as you endeavor to do for the Lord what you should do, there may be increased resistance. Now, what we're going to learn tonight is how to overcome that resistance. But resistance can very well be a sign that you're going in the right direction. And then Satan is a thief. And this is I don't want you to miss this, because this is the parable of the sower. Remember, the seed was the Word of God. And these are they by the wayside where, now, the word is the seed that was sown. And after the people receive the word, now watch this. Look what happens next after somebody receives the word of God. Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. We rejoice tonight. I rejoice tonight delightfully with Travis and how the Lord so graciously received this young man back. But you see, the devil wants to come and take the word that Travis has got and take it out of him before he can get more in. And that's why it's a real great victory to have him here tonight. Because in order to prevent Satan from taking away the word, the best thing to do is get more word. Okay. But Satan always does it. Let me tell you something. The most critical moments after church service is the first hour. Because Satan comes after the word is sown. Guess what? To take it away. So we don't do what we heard. So we don't grow by what we learn. Comes to steal. He's a thief and he steals the word. But not only that. He comes again in this verse to steal. And then he also is a destroyer. The thief comes not, but he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you follow his enticements, they will lead to destruction. Because that's what he does. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. And then Satan has the ability to get control of some people. Now, certainly, it wouldn't be people who knew the Lord. But Jesus turned and looked about him, and he looked on his disciples. Here was a big 12. And he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, because you savor not the things that are of God, but the things that be of men. So for a moment at least in Peter's life, and there were several of them actually, Satan got temporary control of Peter. Now, thankfully, that's not a permanent condition. Although it can become a permanent condition and leads to what we call demon possession or devil possession. We'll come to that. But if people are open to him, he can get control. You need to know that he never does anything good. If Satan is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? And Jesus said this in the context of letting people know that there wasn't anything good. Satan was not casting out Satan, because kingdom divided against itself. So he never does what is good. And then he has disguises. You need to know this, because this is what makes character verification difficult. You meet a young lady, meets a young man, and he's wearing a disguise. Young man meets a young woman, she's wearing a disguise. People don't let you know what they're really like. They wear disguises. They wear masks. Well, Satan is like that. And watch this now, because we learned that false apostles are like that. False apostles look like real apostles. They sound like real apostles. But they are deceitful workers, and look at this now, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They are really false apostles, but they are able, these wolves, to put on sheep's clothing and transform themselves, to bring disguise. Now watch this. And no marvel. That shouldn't shock us. Now watch this now. Because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. People wouldn't eat the poisonous cherry pie if they saw you with a big can that said arsenic on it and spoonfuling it in. But if it says sugar, if the poison is disguised, how would you know? Satan is like this. He doesn't come looking ugly. He comes looking attractive. Otherwise, how could he entice people off the path of life? He comes disguised as an angel of light. This is why character confirmation is the basis of dealing with all people, and of this person particularly, the devil. So this scripture goes on to say, it is not a great thing if his ministers, who's the his here? The ministers of Satan, also transform as the ministers of righteousness. I have had numerous conversations of late, and some of you may have been in some of them. They are reflected in the prayers last Sunday morning that were prayed several times. It's possible to have ministers in Christian churches who are ministers of his, who have transformed themselves into looking like they are proponents of righteousness. So how would one ever know? And that's why we have biblical model for church discipline. You know the true righteous condition of a minister by what he permits and allows. Does the minister let sin, habitual sin, go unaddressed in the flock? If he does, he's serving someone, something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I say these things, dear beloved, with great fear. So Satan has disguises. He authors sickness and disease. Here's just one illustration, and there are dozens of them, but I just put this one in here. Ought not, Jesus is saying, this was to heal this woman on the Sabbath. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, not look at this, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, should she not be loosed from this bond on this Sabbath day? But notice the part I want you to get here. She is bound because Satan hath bound her. He is like that. Let me just read a paragraph from A.W. for a moment. The devil makes it his business to keep Christians in bondage bound and gagged, actually imprisoned in their own grave clothes. Why doesn't the old devil Satan give up and bow out of the picture when a person becomes a believing Christian? Although he's a dark and sinister foe dedicated to the damnation of humans, I think he knows that it is no use trying to damn a forgiven, justified child of God who is in the Lord's hands. So it becomes the devil's business to keep that Christian spirit imprisoned. He knows that the believing, justified Christian has been raised up out of the grave of his sins and trespasses. From that point on, Satan works that much harder to keep us bound and gagged, actually imprisoned in our own grave clothes. He knows that if we continue in this kind of bondage, we will never be able to claim our rightful spiritual heritage. He knows also that while we continue bound in this kind of enslavement, we are not much better off than when we were spiritually dead. That bondage can be sickness, not all sickness. Now, you can make yourself sick. You can just break enough rules to make yourself sick. But let me tell you something. There's a devil who afflicts with this disease and sickness. Now, Satan can possess persons. That's not just a temporary entering in, but a long-term one. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, one of the 12. How can he do this? Because he is a spirit, and because he has thousands following working with him, referred to as demons, evil spirits, who answer to him. And then Satan seeks to get advantage over us. He is always trying to get an advantage on you, the upper hand. And that's why this scripture says we better not be ignorant of his devices. And it is amazing in the context of this scripture how Satan gets the upper hand. Do you know how Satan gets the upper hand? Unforgiveness. When we are unforgiving towards others, he has an upper hand. Unforgiveness to others, unforgiveness to anything, anybody, anything, ourselves. You don't forgive yourself, Satan's got an upper hand. See that in a moment. Satan has evil intentions for good people. And here's Simon Peter again. And Jesus comes and says, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. Satan has desired to have you. Satan has desires towards good people, evil intentions. He wants to have them that he may sift you as wheat, Peter. But here was the good news, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when thou art converted, you will strengthen the brothers. Satan wants to sift you. Let's learn that Satan is a hinderer. Paul said, I would have come to you. I, Paul. But Satan hindered us. Now imagine if Satan hindered the great apostle Paul. I wonder if he could hinder Johnson. I think so. Unless I'm alert to him. Satan can produce supernatural signs. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and those that perish, is able to do and produce lying wonders. Satan is a deceiver. That great dragon which was cast out, old serpent, called the devil and Satan. And look at this. which deceives the whole world. He's a deceiver, and look at the scope of his deception. The whole world. Something that won't appear in your notes, but probably should have hit this point. The scripture says that he blinds people, that the light of the gospel doesn't shine unto them. He makes them blind. That old serpent, the devil, called the devil and Satan. Two of his names. Like I've told you before, there are certain serpents, snakes, that before they attack a rabbit or a frog or whatever their prey is, out of the top two teeth, they drop a liquid, and the serpent will hiss. The hissing is actually blowing air at these two droplets that cause them to vaporize in the eyes of the rabbit or the frog and blinds them so they can't run away. And it is not incidental or accidental that Lucifer is referred to as that old serpent, the devil and Satan. So he is a deceiver and he is an accuser. And this is the next verse. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. And that's what he does today. How many of us here are influenced by Satan? Let me ask you a question. Are your sins from the past magnified? Does Satan, this is what he does. He magnifies your past sins, ones that are already forgiven. Now, surely you know the Lord God doesn't do that, right? Because we are justified by faith in his Son. Glory to God. That our sins are never to be remembered against us anymore. Has he put them away? Yes. Does he come back? Does Jesus come back and bring our sins and shove our faces in them all over again? Not a chance. Then why do your sins from the past seem so big to you till this day? If God's not doing it, who's doing it? Certainly you're not doing it to yourself, are you? And I suggest to you that this is why you want to know what this rascal is like. Because if you don't know this is his nature to do this, then you won't deal with these magnified transgressions which were like monsters to you till this day, when Jesus' blood has already cleansed them out of existence. But this accuser comes to magnify your past sins and put them up in front of you and block you and put you in bondage and get you into condemnation. And he'll even solicit the help of other people to do some of the accusing. Oh, beloved, isn't it really good to be on this side of redemption? Isn't it good to be on this side of Calvary? Isn't it good to be on the side of the blood of Jesus Christ? Because all that stuff has been washed away and cleansed out of existence. Unless you let Satan function. And I want to suggest to you tonight that as you come to realize some of these character qualities, characteristics of Satan, that I want something holy to rise up inside of you and say, no more, I've had enough of him. It's time not to let past sins be big in your eyes for one more hour. They are big because the accuser takes them and drags them, tells you half the truth, tells you you did it and you believe him, and he forgets to tell you the other half of the truth, that Jesus died for it and put it out of existence. Ah, don't you love that about Jesus? Jesus doesn't cover up your sin. He just doesn't remove it from you and put it somewhere else. He puts it out of existence. It doesn't exist anymore. Oh, beloved, this is one of the greatest truths I know. So never doubt for a moment that the God who can create something out of nothing can also create nothing out of something. It's what he does with my sins. That's why I can stand here tonight, and you can be here tonight, and we together, clothed in robes of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Every sin. Oh, Travis, every single one of them gone. Man, I want to shout for you. And shout for me. And shout for everybody in this room. Oh, we used to sing that chorus. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They're gone. But Satan, he only brings them back. He brings them back big. And they loom magnified in our eyes because he's the accuser. Now, he orchestrates the unconverted to interfere with you, God's children. He will use other people. He orchestrates other people. I want you to make sure you get this. He orchestrates other people, unconverted people, and if he can, he'll, by the way, if he can orchestrate a Christian to work evil against you, he'll do that too. That's why we must not be ignorant of his devices. He orchestrates the unconverted to interfere with God's children. Now, let's look at this in the scripture. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But you remember the story. Remember the tares were sown among the wheat. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the enemy that put these wicked tares in the midst of the good seed is the devil. Now, let me tell you some practical applications of this. Are you ready? How many promise me you'll still love the preacher when I get done tonight? Three of you. Okay, right. My wife was one of them, so I don't care about the rest of you. The wheat's growing. Somebody comes and plants non-wheat in the midst of the wheat, and it grows up. It looks like wheat, but it's tares. And so the question is, Master, shall we pull out the tares? No, because you might pull out some wheat while you're at it. You let them grow together until the harvest, because that's when you can recognize. Harvest is when you can recognize the tares. And once they're recognizable, they need to be dealt with. But there are a lot of things that are kept secret and private in people's lives that when they come to the surface and manifest, they will be shown to be tares. But right now, they look like wheat. Now, what does that mean to you? It means what we began with. Character. What was the term I used? Character verification is the basis of all relationship. Somebody could be in the church tonight. Somebody could be in your Bible study group. Somebody could be in your... And they could be plants put there by Satan. That's why character verification will be the proper basis by which you'll be able to make wise choices. I guess I've had too much experience with this prior to being here, but I could tell you a lot of stories about. What's wrong? What's wrong? Feels good to rub it. Not supposed to do that? It's a lot better than this way. Oh. I just got a lot of opposite. You know, there's some tears here. I could tell you 50 tragic stories, 50 tragic stories of 50 tragic stories of young ladies who went to church and met young men who looked like the real thing, looked like wheat. Let me tell you one. Her name was Dorothy. She rang the doorbell at Teen Challenge Center in Toronto, and I answered the door. I worked there. My dad, my mother, who ran the Teen Challenge Center, were out of town, and I was in charge. And I opened the door, and I had never seen, probably before that time, a woman as beautiful as Dorothy. Except she was bloodied from all over. Tried to commit suicide. I made arrangements, took her to St. Michael's Hospital immediately, and they got her sewed up and looked after. Brought her back to the Teen Challenge Center, and the female staff took care of her. Next day, I'm sitting in the little chapel talking to Dorothy. I said, "Tell me your story." The story of heroin addiction and prostitution and just horrible. She'd been abused and used and abused and used and abused. And in Vancouver, she walked into a Saturday night meeting, Youth for Christ. She went forward in an altar call. She gave her life to Christ, and she stood up. Immediately delivered from the cocaine. Immediately. No more alcohol. People took her home, gave her clothes to wear, and she began to live the Christian life. She had months of absolute victory until the Youth for Christ director started to take her out. And he did what no Christian man would do. And she lost it all in one lust-filled night. And now, 6 months later, she's sitting in front of me, back on heroin, back hustling in the streets. Actually, it's not the streets. She worked in one of the highest-end restaurants in the city of Toronto, which is where she made her contact. Story. It's because Satan orchestrated somebody to the ruin of one of God's people. So watch out, because he does this. He is wicked. You have overcome the wicked one, referring to Satan. He's your adversary. We talked about that because your adversary, the devil. Let's get real quick, see if we can't spend a few moments on how to respond to Satan. I'm not sure we're going to get done tonight, but we'll get to the end of this note anyhow. The first thing you better do in view of the fact of Satan is you better have all the armor on. Somebody say amen to that. Put on the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now watch the reason. That ye may be able to stand against what the devil's going to bring at you. The armor enables you to stand against what the devil brings at you. Isn't that really good news? And so anybody, want to tell me what the first piece of armor is? Huh? The loins girt about with truth. What part of the body does it protect? Your reproductive parts of your body. The first thing God watches and guards with a piece of armor. Guards the loins. Your sexuality is important. How do you get on this piece of armor? How? What is this armor made out of? It's made out of the Word of God. Those parts of the Word of God, let me give you Proverbs chapter 5, 6, 7, 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 7, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. And you take those scriptures, which are about the private parts of your body, and you memorize them, and by memorize them, then you got the armor on. And the enemy will never get you there because you've got the first piece on. Secondly, well, we better not go through all the parts of the armor. But the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, the foot shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and having the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, above all the shield of faith, which is why you're able to quench all the fiery darts that come at you. First thing, you need to know the armor, what it's made out of, and how to get it on. And this standing in front of the mirror in the morning and pretending that you're putting the armor on is mysticism, and you will not have the armor on. That doesn't get the armor on. And the armor, when you get this on, you never take it off. You live in it, you sleep in it, you wake up in it, you go to work in it, you always got it on 24/7. It's made to stay on all the time. And if you have any doubt, you need to go back, grab real good deals. Let me tell you something. All cassette tapes, $1 a piece. You can go back there and get that whole series on the armor of God. And if you don't know that, you need to get it, because the first thing you need, look at the scripture, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You need the armor, number one. Number two, you need to know his devices. Lest Satan should get an advantage of, we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I haven't got time to go into details on that, but on another Wednesday night, we'll probably have to finish up the loose ends on this. Third thing, remember this scripture. Don't give place. Give him no place. Give him not an inch. Because you don't know how much damage he can do with one inch. Let me put it in more practical terms. Do not give him one sentence space in your mind. No place. No, zero tolerance. Let me see if I put this in there. Back to the diagram. If these three here are very evil men, and this young girl of the church looks and does not verify character, but gives them a little space, Satan, because of his nature, will take that space, and by the time he's finished, you will have good reason to give him some more space, until he has totally encroached. He is a seducer. He is a defiler. And he doesn't mind doing it incrementally. So don't give place. Don't give sentence. Don't give one thought. Don't allow one trick. No place at all to the devil. Because he'll trap you. Be serious and watchful. Be sober, be vigilant. Here it is. Be sober about this. Don't think that when we talk about the devil tonight, we're talking about some archaic thing that doesn't exist anymore. There's more evidence today in this United States of America of a devil than there ever was. And less evidence of Jesus Christ. Because the devil is having a heyday right now in America. You know why? What's going on? It's not just America. It's all over the world. Why is it worse today than it's ever been? The answer is because Satan knows, and you can find this in the book of Revelation, that his time is short. So his wrath is increased. Now, Satan isn't terribly bright. For example, he did not know that Jesus on the cross would be his defeat, or he wouldn't have worked to get Jesus on the cross. So he's not a good interpreter of Scripture. That's why the Scripture says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he's kind of stupid in some ways. But he can read the Bible, and he knows some stuff. He just doesn't know how. He didn't get the atonement, didn't get the redemption thing, didn't understand it. But he knows now that the hour's late. And the crescendo toward the end time is on now. And he's more stirred up than ever. And if we were ever serious about Satan, it better be now. Be sober. And watchful, vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is going about. Now watch this. And the Scripture says to resist him. Resist him. That is the opposite of cooperate with him. No place, no space. We absolutely resist. If we went back to that picture of two little girls looking at these three guys, what do they need to do when they find out that the character is wanting, that the character quality is not there? Yeah. Resist, have nothing to do, get out of there. Absolutely. Now, look at this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Now, here's where I want to turn the corner for a moment and show you some really good news. And we're going to end with this. Because if we follow these principles, if you've got the armor on, and you know his devices, and you don't give him any place, and you're serious and watchful about it, and you resist him, here is the really good news. He will flee from you. I want to be the kind of a Christian Satan runs from. I want us to have the kind of Holy Ghost indwelling in our lives today that when we walk the streets, that filthy people get out of the way and shirk in shame. Because here comes some young men, some young women who are full of God. We must get to a place, dear brothers and sisters, where Satan is running from us, where demons tremble to be near us. It is not sufficient that we simply overcome in our own personal lives. Certainly it will begin there. But until we live in such a righteous condition, that evil avoids us, Satan flees from us, then we've got some work to do on ourselves. But the good news is that if we do these things, he will flee from us. Now, you got to talk to the devil. Now, I'll give you this scripture because let me show you a couple things. What do you say to the devil? Answer. You say what the Word of God says. Nothing else. Do not dialogue with Satan. Do not be on talking terms with Satan. Let me tell you something. He can engage you for hours. You can argue back and forth. You can wrestle with him. But the Scripture tells us, and we'll show by the example of the Lord Jesus in a moment, as these young men, that what we are to speak to Satan is what the Word of God is and nothing else, because that is what shuts him down. Somehow embedded in the Word of God is a sufficient energy and spiritual power, the sword of the Spirit, it is called, which is the Word of God, and that's what you speak to Satan. You don't have a conversation of whether you should or should not go to a movie or not. You don't have a discussion with him about how you should treat your wife or how you should get along. You do not have discussions with Satan. There is not likely a person in this room whom Satan has not already tried to have discussions with. What we do is because our objective, based on the confirmation of character, this is a character whose characteristics are so vile, I should have zero to do with him at all. But if I have to do with him, then it's going to be something that's going to send him packing all the time, every time. And nothing else. Now watch this. So John, I love John. I'm writing unto you, fathers, because you have known Jesus from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. Now watch this. And I'm writing to you, young men, who are strong and have the word of God abiding in you. Watch this. Because if you know Jesus and you become strong in spirit, and if the word of God abides in you, you will overcome the devil all the time, every time. Now, what I want you to get out of this verse before I go to the next one is that it is the word of God that abides in you. The word of God that abides in you now needs to come out of you and like the sword of the Spirit wielded against the devil. And here's the scripture I want you to get. This occurs three times. This is the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by Satan. And you will not find in this dialogue that Jesus says anything to Satan except what's in the scripture. No dialogue. No interaction. Satan does all the talking except when Jesus speaks nothing but the actual text of Scripture. So the tempter says, if you're the Son of God, then make these stones bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, every single time. And he quotes the Scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that scripture shuts Satan down immediately. So Satan gets him up into a high place and says, look it, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all these, for they are mine, and to whomsoever I give them. And Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Listen now, friends. If Jesus only spoke the word of God to Satan, I say that's all I'm going to do. That is the limit of our conversations with Satan. Oh, I have such longing for you tonight. I have such longing for you not to dialogue with your enemy. That instead, we resist him and we speak the word of God. That's why it must abide in us, and it comes up and it is the end and he must flee. And there's one last thing. And it's something we started with. And here's the facts. Here's the bottom line. It's the truth I mentioned when I quoted that scripture. Remember, greater is who's the he? Jesus that is in you than the he that is in the world. There are two he's in that scripture. And one of the he's is greater than the other he. Remember? The greater is he, Jesus, that is in you than that he, Satan, that is in the world. You must never lose track of this, my beloved friends, because faith, your faith is important. He said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, I saw Satan fall, and he says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I say what God wants to revive today in America, in Jacksonville, in this church, is people who know how to drive out the devil. We must drive out the devil. All right. Will you let me have three sentences closing? Let me see if I can get closer to you. I hate being back there, but if ever deliverance was needed in America, in Washington, in Florida, in Jacksonville. It's today. That was my first sentence. Second, deliverance involves two functions: exercising or casting out the devil, and then ministering to the person. If we try to minister to the person without dealing with the devil, we will never be able to help that person. We must first cast out the devil, then minister to the person. And I think what we need prayer meetings about is casting out the devil. We've got to deal with the devil. So, next Wednesday, we're going to spend some time on the biblical principles that we began tonight. Because if we can get the devil stopped, we can help the people. But helping the people without dealing with the devil, we've got to deal with the devil. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ and by the blood, the atoning blood of Calvary. And I ask you in Jesus' name to bind every evil spirit, every devil, every demon that's tried to affect and infect members of this congregation, those that stand before me tonight. He has tried to destroy. But right now, together, we come against you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And we forbid, this is holy ground. Hear us, O spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand. We are his people, purchased with blood, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb. And around our families now, and every home, and every child, Holy Spirit, bring the blood of Jesus. And with you, we will stop the devils until victory complete and he is under our feet. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.